start with the big picture. Okay, where this is December 7, 2012. Anybody would know what happened 71 years ago today?
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. Now, Pearl Harbor started what war? Yeah, the American entrance into World War II. That's correct. That's right. And who attacked us on that day? What country? Japan. And who is now one of our better trading partners? Japan. There was a movie many years ago called The Mouse That Roared. The Mouse That Roared. And it was a movie about a little tiny country that was so poor that the king, it was a king, said, you know, every country that's ever attacked the United States has been more prosperous at the end of it than when they attacked it, when they attacked, right? So Japan, Germany, you get the idea. So he hatched up the idea to attack the United States and in order to lose and then get help. So he attacked the United States. And by accident, sheer complete accident, got a hold of a nuclear bomb and won. and he's going, I don't want to win. What do I do with this thing? I don't know. At any rate, it's a movie, black and white, The Mouse That Roared, if you ever want to look at something kind of humorous. The other thing is, last night while I was grading the biochem, I watched a Pink Panther movie. The Pink Panther Strikes Back with, Peter Sellers. Yes. The one who falls into a moat and he says, swine moot, as only he can do. At any rate, I laughed out loud at 1 o'clock in the morning at a couple things. Let's take a look at the semester review. Are we going to do anything over chapter 9? Let's start at the end.
No.
Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. So, Next semester, when you begin the semester, begin with the end in mind. What would be your target GPA at the end of the semester? Put that in mind at the beginning. Actually, a specific number, a specific grade for each class. And then make that your target. Begin with the end in mind. All right. So, my goal here was to alienate everybody in this class. And I think I've succeeded. What? Alienate.
Why?
What? Oh, just because I'm just being silly and mean. I'm teasing. Anyway. All right, chapter 9, you got nothing going on with chapter 9. Chapter 8, of course. Now, you'll get chapter 9 starting next semester. Chapter 8, we didn't do through all the chapters. So start at chapter 8. Put a check mark next to recall the characteristics. And then recall two of the three acid-base theories, the Arrhenius theory and the Brodsted-Lowry theory. There is a third theory. What was the third theory I mentioned once and didn't mention again? It's called Lewis, but we don't worry about that. All right, now let's review quickly what the Arrhenius theory is. The Arrhenius theory is an acid is a material that releases what kind of ion? Hydrogen ion or hydronium ion, and a base is a material that releases what? Hydroxide. Always and only one kind of solvent. And what's that solvent? Water. Remember the test question I had? So, some of you, have you not taken the test question? Anybody here not taking the test? Oh, well then, I'm going to be quiet about that. So, anyway, recall what a strong and weak acid meant. Strong and weak. What does strong and weak mean? What's strong mean? Dissociates.
How
completely dissociates. Exactly right. Then you also need to identify the acid, the base, and the conjugate acid and conjugate base in an acid-base reaction. Okay? Now come down here and pick up a review sheet. I'm going to put this on Moodle and also put the review on Moodle because some people are not going to be able to be here. Okay, now it says set up a simple K equation for acid to base. You need to do that. Now, it says, based on Ka value, determine relative acid strength. No. Determine the net ionic equation. Yes. Define Kw and pH. Yes. Calculate pH. Yes. calculate the hydronium ion or hydrogen ion. Those are the same thing, by the way. Given the pH, yes. Determine is no. Predict is no. Define a buffer is yes. Henderson Hasselbalch, no. And the rest of them are no. So no defined titration, no calculate titration point, no calculate number of equivalents, no calculate the normality. Okay? That's chapter 8. Did I go too fast?
Wait. Did you say set up the simple K equation?
Yes. Yes. Set up the simple K equation for acid and base, yes. It's basically K, that's a KW just with acids and bases. I mean KEQ. It's no big deal. Not just look in the book if you have any questions about it. Chapter 7, we're going to work backwards. Chapter 7, what are chemical kinetics? You need to ask that. So when I go through this, okay, everything I see here you need to know on Chapter 7. There's nothing on Chapter 7 that you do not need to know. Let me rephrase that in positive. Everything on Chapter 7 you need to know. All right, so what are the four factors? I'm just going to pick one or two. Recall the four factors that affect the rates of reaction. What's one factor that affects the rate of reaction? Structure, catalyst, heat, concentration. You guys got it. There actually may be four, but it said only four here. And what's Le Chatelier's principle?
Stress.
A system at equilibrium. Notice what I said. A system at what? Will shift based on the stress that the that is imposed upon that equilibrium thing. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there were five last
year. There may have been five. Are you going to purposely forget one of the five?
Save brain space.
Save brain space. For what? Do you remember the last score you got on Halo 4? Oh, what game do you play? The game of life, oh brother. What's he play? 2K? What's 2K? Oh, it's basketball. Okay, so what did you win by last time you played? He's lying. He's a lying liar. Wait a minute. Come back here. You just you took my originals, man. There you go. Thank you. I'll put this right here and guard my original. All right. Enough frivolity and fooling around. So that's chapter 7. Chapter 6. Let's look at chapter 6, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Chapter 6 is pretty dense. There's a lot of stuff with chapter 6. And, man, I don't know of anything that you have to know all of chapter 6. So just write down all. Okay, all. But let's focus on the calculate. Well, look at the definitions. You have to classify. You have to recall. Define what those different solubilities are. Recall the solubility trends. The one thing I do want you to recall for sure is, what is unique about gases and liquids? About the solubility, the rate of solubility versus temperature for gases in liquids. It's backwards what you normally think. Gases dissolve better in liquids at what temperature? Low temperature. Completely unexpected. I almost have to remind myself of that every time because it's so unique. Everything else, if you want to dissolve more, you have to heat it up. But not gases and liquids. Again, you think of fish. Fish that live in warm water like the Mississippi River, are the fish that don't use much energy. They're the bottom feeders. Yeah, you don't want to eat them. But the fish that live in cold water, like trout, so on, they're very active because they have plenty of oxygen. Yes? Where, which one? What? Where? This is under number?
Chapter
6. Which one? Oh, yeah. No, you don't. I apologize for that. I skipped that. See where it says use simple calculations to determine parts per million and parts per billion? You can skip that if you wish.
That's an easy one.
That is an easy one, yeah. But I didn't really go over it very well, and I sort of said I was not going to ask anything about it. Okay, so look at the calculations we have to do. We have to do percent. Did you do percent? Remember the equation for percent? Grams over volume equals X percent over a what? 100. Remember that. That'd be very helpful. That all works for weight, volume, 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 weight, weight. It's all the same thing. Now, use molarity. What's the fundamental definition of molarity? Molarity is equal to what? I can't tell you. I've been a little disappointed at 2 or 3 in this most recent test. Okay, molarity is equal to moles divided by liters. And I've had more than one, unfortunately, not put moles there, but grams. Okay, so you don't need to self-identify if you've done that. But at any rate, the molarity literally has the word or term mole in it. And so given a compound of 25 grams or whatever, 25 grams of water, for example, you have to calculate, you have to change that into moles. And how do you, remember how you do that? You multiply by what factor?
1 mole over how many?
This thing is the what? Molar mass. The mass of that particular material. Where did it get the 18 from?
H2O.
The atomic weight of one oxygen and two hydrogens. So when you do this, then of course, I don't care about the numbers, you get moles, and that's what is used in the molarity calculation. What other two values or equations can you get out of this? Well, molarity times liters is equal to what? Mole. And then, of course, liters is equal to mole divided by what? Molarity. So these three questions, these three equations, you got to know. You have got to know. Now, the test that you're going to get on Wednesday is going to be an entire multiple choice question test. But I don't think it's going to be the standardized final. I think it's just going to be one I make or made. So it's all multiple choice. Okay? And you'll be putting them on Scantrons so that we can grade them quickly. Because I've got to have all that done before I leave. Because someone else is going to be proctoring. Okay? So, but I'm available on Sunday and Monday if you need help. You guys have my phone number? Some of you do, some of you don't. You're welcome to text or call me if you have questions as you review. Even on Tuesday, although Tuesday I'm traveling, you may not get me, but I will always pick up if I can. So it's 269-325-1932 is my cell phone number. Don't hesitate to call. We all have unlimited talk and text anymore for $18,000 a month. And I only exaggerate a little. Okay. And then, of course, dilution, M1V1 equals M2V2. And then the rest of that's what it is. Osmotic pressure, isotonic, hypertonic, hypotonic, and crenation. You need to know what those are. Chapter 5, ladies and gentlemen. I got to stop pounding on this because I'm sure people are going, ow, that hurts. There's all the gas equations, ladies and gentlemen. So you've got, what are the four variables you have to know to find a sample of gas? Pressure, volume, temperature, and mass. Okay? So you need to know all these in chapter 5. So Boyle's law relates?
Pressure
and volume, exactly correct. What are the two constants then? Temperature and mass, exactly. Charles' law relates what and what? Volume and temperature. And therefore the two constants are pressure and mass. All right, ideal gas law. Remember the ideal gas law? What is that? What is the equation for the ideal gas law?
MV.
PV equals
NRT,
where P is pressure in atmospheres, V is volume in liters, equals is, there's nothing there. Anyway, N is mass in moles. The ideal gas law, the mass is always in moles. If you're given grams, you must convert those grams into moles of gas. Never gram. Always mole. Okay? Does that make sense? I will actually give you R. I will not give you the equation, but I will give you R. Are you ready for that? Okay, N was mass in moles. NRT. The R was what constant? Universal gas constant. I'll give you that. And T was what? Temperature in what units? Kelvin. Gases always are calculated. The temperature in what units? Kelvin. Never, ever forget that for gases. The temperature is always Kelvin. All right. There we go. Units for variables, Boyle's law, Charles law, ideal gas law, how do changes in phase alter rapid changes in temperature as a sample of a solid. So the very last point, the last one on chapter 5, which says how do changes in phase, you can just, don't worry about that one. Just skip that one. See, probably what I'm going to do is when I write this thing, I'm going to go through and just about every line I'm going to ask a question about. That's probably about the right length. Just one question per line, and that would make a nice little test. Yes, it could be. All right, that's chapter 5. Chapter 4. Oh my goodness, that's that old mass thing. The formula mass, number of moles, balanced chemical equations, using chemical equations. Oh, look at the four-step method. What is that? Balance. Grams of known moles to moles of known. Moles of known to moles of moles of unknown to grams of unknown. Notice I've kind of expanded that a little bit. And number 3 is the crucial thing. The moles of known to moles of unknown, what proportion do you use that? Where did that come from? The moles to moles, where do those units come from? Comes from the balanced chemical equation, is that right? Okay. All right. The percentage yield, net ionic. The solubilities. Review the write this down next to it. Don't phase out on me. Review the solubility rules. This is under it's like third line from the end of chapter 4. It says determine the net ionic equation given the solubilities, products, and reactants. So recall the solubilities. Recall the solubilities. All sodiums, all lithiums, and all ammoniums are all soluble all the time. And that's just a nice quick rule. That's chapter 4. Chapter 3, ladies and gentlemen. Where are we, chapter 3? How are ions formed? Why do ions have particular charges? They do. Why does sodium only have a positive 1 charge? Why can't it have a negative 1 charge? A noble gas. Everything's trying to become a gas. Well, classical gas. Da 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 da. Never mind. It's an old song. Trying to become one of those noble gases. And so they either gain or lose electrons to become a noble gas configuration. So like fluorine, how many electrons does fluorine have to gain to look like neon? Yeah, 1. How many electrons does sodium have to lose to look like neon? 1. So the fluorine ion is a negative what charge? Negative 1. And the sodium is a positive 1. Yep. Now, do you remember, I don't know if I actually, I didn't give you an ion quiz this time, did I? No, I didn't. But I did extract my pound of flesh on a test because I asked you to create the correct formulas for things. And that sometimes didn't go too well. So you need to recall your ions. Review the structure and name and charge. Okay, so name, structure, charge. Name, structure, charge for ions. Name, structure, charge. Let me write that, say that one more time. Name, structure, charge for the ions. Review that. All right. Can you draw a Lewis electron dot model of phosphorus? Yeah. How about of calcium? Yes. How about palladium? I'm only going to make you do the electron configurations of the first 20. Those are the ones that are most reliable. So don't worry about anything but the first 20. Yes?
For the ions, when you say structure, what exactly do you mean?
What I mean by structure, I probably mean formula. For example, the sulfate ion. What's the formula for the sulfate ion? SO4. What's the charge on it?
-2.
That's all I'm looking for. So I guess it would be better said the name, the formula, and the charge, as opposed to the structure. I apologize for that. To be more specific, it would be the name, the formula, and the structure. Charge. I'm going to get myself confused. Name, formula, charge. All right. Chapter 3, isn't it? We're still working on 3. The VSEPR theory, what does that stand for? Do you remember the table that you had there on that? It had, if you have two bonded pairs of electrons and no lone pairs, it was linear. And then you had two bonded and one lone, it was bent. Or two lone, it was bent. And four bonded pairs and no unbonded pairs, that was tetrahedral. Remember that chart? Trigonal planar, trigonal pyramidal, tetrahedral. Guess what? You need to know that. Okay, you got to know that. Got to know that chart for VSEPR theory. Okay, you need to define electronegativity. And you need to tell me why electronegativity tells me if a bond is going to be nonpolar or polar. If electronegativity difference is too much, you move from nonpolar to polar. And if it goes even a little farther, you move from polar to ionic. It's kind of a continuum. No, 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 no. Okay, all these other kinds of things are going to be on there for chapter 3. Chapter 2. Major points, contributions of Lafayette, Proust, and Mendeleev. We didn't go that over that in class all that much, but you can look it up. So what did the Rutherford experiment discover and how? What did the Rutherford experiment discover?
Electrons.
Nope. The nucleus. That the nucleus was tiny and dense and positively charged. Kaboom. That's what Rutherford's experiment discovered. How is the periodic chart organized? It's based on chemical behavior and atomic number. What is the atomic number, by the way? What does that mean, atomic number? It's the number of what? Protons. What is the mass number then? Protons and neutrons. Yeah. Okay. And so, can you draw a one-line electron configuration? Yeah, I'm going to give you a chart. That remember the chart that has the 1s and the 2s2 and the 2p2s and all that kind of thing? I'll give you that chart on the test. You don't need to memorize it. But, for example, if I was going to give you, let's choose something simple like nitrogen. Nitrogen. I want the one-line electron configuration of nitrogen. Now, nitrogen has how many protons? 7 protons. That means it has how many electrons?
Now, how are all those electrons distributed? Are they all bunched up on the first energy level? Say no. No, they're not all bunched up on the same energy level. So, what that does, we have 7 electrons to distribute. If you recall, what that means is, and I'll give you the chart, there's 2 electrons that can go on the first energy level, and then you go on the second energy level, and the S2 is filled, and finally that's 4 of them, then you got a 2P3. Yeah, 2P3. So, that's how you do it, and I'll give you that chart that shows you how to do it.
It's not hard. Just review. Okay, can you identify what differentiates the difference between a metal and a non-metal? See that kind of a bold line there between boron and aluminum, and see how it zigzags down from upper left to lower right? Elements on that side of the line are what? Non-metals. Elements on this side of the line over here are metals. And the ones that kind of straddle it are called semi-metals or semiconductors or transistor. So that's what that is. So you know where the alkali metals are. Where are the alkali metals? What's the group that's called the alkali metals? Number 1. What about alkaline earths? Those are 2. So it's 1A is alkali metals. Alkaline earths are 2A. Where are halogens? Over here they say 17. Or you could say 7A if you're using into Roman numerals. Where are the noble gases? 18 or 8A. 8 is enough. And where are the transition elements? That block right there in the middle. And where are the rare earth elements? Or lanthanide, actinide series. Those are the ones down below. What orbital is being filled in this thing right here? What orbital? When I mean orbitals, I'm talking not orbitals. I want
energy level.
What sub level is being filled? These 2 columns right here are filled by S's. These 6 columns over here are being filled in what sublevels? P's. These 10 right there in the middle are being filled by D's. And these 14 right here below, down below, are being filled by F's. Kind of slick, isn't it? It's amazing. There's such order and precision in our universe. But at the same time, even though there's such order and precision, in order for you to be alive, there has to be significant amounts of uncertainty or chaos in each of yourselves in order for you to be able to adapt to different conditions. Be able to adapt. Say you wanted to eat Taco Bell this morning, and then you go have Thai food tonight. Of course, you're not going to eat out because it's Sabbath. But anyway, can you adapt to all that? Yes, you can. And you can adapt because your body has been built to adapt. Can you imagine how boring it would be if you were built to only eat one food?
If it was chocolate, it would be okay.
If it was chocolate, it would be okay. But even, too much of a good thing is still...
A good thing?
Yeah. Still too much. Yeah, you know, people who work in chocolate factories? Yeah, they said, you can eat all the chocolate you want at work. Can't take it home, but you can eat all... So these beautiful, exotic chocolates that they make, you know, this rich, expensive chocolates, all the workers can have. But after the first week or two, they can hardly stand it. You know, they give it away to their friends, but if you work there, yeah. Okay, that was chapter 2. Chapter number 1, ladies and gentlemen. Scientific method, convert numbers in and out of scientific notation, significant digits, convert metric system, math, mass, volume, and length. Describe the 3 states of matter, density calculations, calorie calculations, that's mass, specific heat, and temperature change. Calculate temperature change or mass change in material. That last calculation we probably won't be doing, where it says calculate the temperature change or mass of a material given its specific heat and other variables. That's probably something we don't really need to do. I won't be asking any questions about it.
Okay, now, honestly, that's about it. I just wanted to go give you a quick review. Do you have any questions that you would like to have answered now? Yes?
On average, does the final raise people's grades or drop people's grades?
Honestly, it's a wash.
It's a wash.
Yeah. I mean, there are probably about as many people have their grades decreased as have their grades increased. So, I mean, it is worth studying for. If you know you're on the border, if your test percentage, and look at your test percentages, don't worry about anything else. But if it's 89, 88, something like that, 91, whatever, if you want to move from an A minus to an A straight A or whatever, or from a B, you know, borderline CB, borderline DC, this final can make a big difference for you because it really has a big impact. It also means if you're in the middle B and you completely ignore this thing and just come in and wing it and get 50%, it'll drop you. Absolutely. But, you know, you can also, you know, really, if you just nail it, it can also help you significantly. But the vast majority of people, their bad habits, if their bad habits continue into the finals. If you have good habits, guess what? They continue into the finals. So, again, a semester is much more like a marathon than a sprint. But, nevertheless, if you have any pieces that you know are out, if you have any questions about homework that you want extra points for, whatever, get them in, get them in, get them in. I won't take too much off if they're late or whatever. Just if you know you have stuff that's out, get it in because you need every point you can. And really sincerely review, okay? Especially on these calculations. Find a calculation that looks okay in the back of the book. One of the odd problems. Just practice them. And then you can check yourself. Check yourself by doing problems in the back of the chapter. Yes? It's 20%. Okay. And if you're in the middle of a grade, it won't help you much. But if you're on the borderline between one or another, it can help a lot. And it's all based on what your percentages are of your tests. And you can figure that out just by simple calculation. You can go online. Moodle is completely screwed up. I have no idea what to do with it. I'll get it figured out by sometime. But it's just, I apologize. You've asked me to do stuff with it. But I just have not had the time to get in there and correct all the errors that are in there. But there are very few errors dealing with your test percentages. The lowest test is always drop, but not the final. So when you get the four tests in, when I enter these in, hopefully today yet, when I enter them in, you can just manually figure out what your percentage is. Just look at the percentage on Moodle, drop the bottom one out, and then average the other three, and you can tell what your percentage test is. And that's the predominant percentage. Okay. If you have been faithful, turned in your homework and turned in your labs and turned in your lab quizzes and stuff, all those invariably do nothing but help you. They're all typically at a higher average than your grade, than your test scores. So if you're like at 89.1 and you've turned everything in and it all looks good, that will probably boost you up into the 90s without too much trouble. Okay. But if you're in the middle of the pack, a middle B, it'll boost you a little bit, but probably not enough. Combination of that and a very solid final could do some real positive good for you. Do you have any questions specifically about the material itself? I think this review piece is actually going to be very, very helpful if you take it seriously. Okay? Take it seriously. Don't worry about it, but take it seriously. Spend time going through each of the chapters and mentally recalling what you would say if I asked you that question. Okay? You don't have to write it down. Just close the book and go, how I describe the scientific method. And talk to yourself and then go back, open the book up and see if it matches what you said. That's all you need to do. Practice, 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 and as many number of contacts as you can. Study a little bit this afternoon, study Saturday night, study Sunday morning, study Sunday afternoon, study Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. A little bit of each time, you know, a couple hours each time, or an hour, even an hour and a half each of those days, and you will be well prepared. Any questions? It's now 11:15. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday. And I think Dr. Randall will be proctoring the test for you.
He'll be a good guy. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk to you later.